May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be ever acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
There are some times that I think that Jesus' parables get in the way of his message. And this Sunday might be one of those times. This Sunday we hear two parables from Jesus, the parable of the Good Shepherd and the parable of the lost coin. And actually, these two parables are only two of a set of three. The third parable, the one that follows these two that we don't hear this Sunday, is the much more famous parable of the prodigal son. All three of these parables have the exact same message. But because these parables are so interesting, so compelling, and potentially rub us the wrong way, we get stuck on these parables so very often. I'll tell you exactly what I mean. When I was preparing for the sermon this Sunday, I was reading the parable of the Good Shepherd, and it starts out with Jesus asking this question. Which one of us, having 100 sheep and losing one, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness to go find the one that had been lost? And this is a rhetorical question. Jesus implies there is a right answer. And the right answer is all of us. All of us absolutely are going to do this. You're going to leave your 99 sheep in the wilderness to go find this one that is lost. That's not up for debate. And, you know, maybe it's because Jesus was using a rhetorical question, which kind of rubs me the wrong way whenever I encounter it. Maybe it's because I'm not the best at first century Galilean shepherding practices. But there was a part of me that wanted to be kind of like that smart aleck in school that raises their hand when the teacher does not want an answer and can say, you know, I don't know if I would do that. Because there was a part of me that was wondering, well, I don't know if I would do that. You know, it just seems maybe irresponsible to leave my 99 sheep all alone in the wilderness. Even if they had dogs and things to watch over them, I'm abandoning them to find, to look for, first of all, a sheep that I do not know where it is. And I don't even know if it's still alive. You know, a wolf could have eaten it up. And that happens. You know, a good shepherd maybe is a shepherd that accounts for a little bit of loss. Again, I'm not a shepherd, but to get from birth through an entire pasturing season to eventually the slaughter, and to have all of your sheep make it there, I think would be rather rare. Shouldn't you have maybe a 2 or 3% account for loss in terms of disease and predation? And I think, well, what is a good shepherd, one who climbs ahead of this? And then, in all of this, I caught myself. And I realized, Michael, you're stuck in the parable. You're stuck in this metaphor, and you've lost all track of the message that Jesus is trying to say. He gives these parables only to illustrate his point, and I've lost the point. By the way, this exact same thing can happen with the parable of the prodigal son. You might hear 101 different sermons that slice and dice that parable and ask all these analytical questions. Who is the prodigal son? Who is the father? Who is the good older son? You know, is the father a just father, a fair father? You know, what are the motivations of these characters? Is the motivation of the prodigal son a good motivation for returning home? And who are we? What characters do we inhabit in this parable? Are we the older son, the younger son? Are we a father figure? And where do we see this parable playing out in our lives? And in all these questions about the parable, we can lose sight of the message. And Jesus' message is actually quite simple for all three of these parables. God rejoices when sinners repent. Or to put it more broadly, God rejoices when what is lost has been found. Or even more broadly, God rejoices when what has been broken apart is reunited and made whole. That's the message. And for me, I can readily accept that. There's no conflict that I can perceive in that message. And it's a message I would really encourage us to focus on today, because it is a message about God. That message that Jesus wants to teach us is that God rejoices. God is the subject, the actor in that message. What we do, our actions, whether we're repenting or whether we're being found or whether we're being reunited, all those things are the object of this message. But the subject, the action, is God's. As human beings, we so want to inject ourselves into these parables, into these stories, to figure out who are we? What are we doing in this parable? But it's really about God. God rejoicing. We're beginning a new year, a new program year here at St. Mary's, a new school year for those of you who are in school, a new season of autumn. So it's a time of newness, and in this time of newness, I'm going to encourage us to examine what we do in our personal lives, in our professional lives, in our ministerial lives as Christians. Are we asking first and foremost, in what I'm doing, is what I'm doing, giving joy to God? That really should be our first question. Does God rejoice in what we do? I'll give you an example of how this might play out in our day-to-day life. Today is September 11th. And in fact, this afternoon, we have a remembrance service here at 4:30. I'm sure Libby's going to talk about that in the announcements. But today's not just an anniversary of a tragedy that happened 15 years ago. In 2009, by a bipartisan bill in Congress, today was officially made the National Day of Service and Remembrance, where all Americans are invited to honor the memory of those who died 15 years ago, as well as honor those who survived, and honor those who gave all they could in the cleanup and recovery efforts after the terrorist attacks, by engaging in charitable service today. Now that's a very noble and honorable thing to do, to remember the events 15 years ago by giving of ourselves in charitable efforts. And if we even expand it a little bit, we can be reminded in charitable service about America, what makes America great, and what we can still do to heal, to continue to heal, and make America even greater. This evening at 4:30, Professor Larry Brown is going to give a talk entitled One Country. And the thrust of his talk is that after the events of 9/11, we were unified as a country in a way that in the years since we have maybe lost. We've become a little bit more divisive, a little more fractured. By engaging in service as a nation together, we might be able to focus on how we can regain that unity, how we can regain the love and the spirit of generosity that we had back in 2001. A day of service is wonderful, and focusing on victims and survivors and even on our nation, our national well-being, is a great endeavor. But what would happen if we thought, firstly, what can I do to bring joy to God? At that point, we're not just thinking about healing, we're not just thinking about our neighbors, we're thinking about the love of God. It becomes not just a solemn day of remembrance, but a day of hope and joy. Wouldn't that be wonderful that this day, 9/11, can be a day not just of remembrance, not just a day of service, but a day of hope for all of us, a day in which God is happy? That would be fantastic. It would be extraordinary. And that, I would say, is the transformative power of asking the question, how are our lives bringing joy to God? When you begin this coming season of autumn, when you begin this new program year or this new school year, I'm going to invite all of us to ask the question first thing in the morning, what can we do to put God first in our thinking? What can we do to turn, repent, more fully towards God? What will please our Lord? And then, let's go out and give God something to rejoice about.